day. Grand rising to you. Hope you are doing well. So I'd like to do a simplistic little talk on angelology, you know, because I do talk at length about the spirits and what we can learn from studying them. So I talk at length about demonology, angelology, all right, and just general occult knowledge of the spirits. I'm not sure how I'm recording because I have my Bluetooth in, but hopefully the sound quality is good for you all. Today is Saturday, August 28th, 2021. It is 10:27 a.m. Pardon the lawnmower in the back. There's two people mowing the lawn, one across the street and one here. So there's a lot of lawnmowers going today on Saturday. The weather's nice. And so we're going to look into the angels and the archangels. And of course, I will be continuing information about the angels, but I'm going to tell you some simplistic information here just to kind of, you know, tap in. And then I will come back with in-depth information regarding angelology and angelology. Angel is angel, okay, a divine being, a spirit, okay, a god or a goddess. And ology is the study of, so there's your etymology, simple, the study of angels, okay. The Bible and the apocryphal texts and many other texts talk about angels. Now, across cultures, sometimes they're called sky gods, sometimes they are called devas, you know, they have different names. But I'm going to call them angels because that's what I prefer to call them for this particular talk. If I'm going to get into devas and other types of spirits, then I'll address them from that avenue when that time comes. Pardon me for just one moment. So, I'm going to begin with the archangels of the four elements. The four primary elements are air, fire, water, earth, of course. And if we're thinking about the pentacle or the pentagram, the fifth element would be spirit. I recently talked to you about the other day, the septagram, also known as the heptagram, which is the seven-pointed star. So if you would like to hear a little bit about the heptagram or the septagram, which involves two other points other than just the fifth, then you can check out my recent lecture. Sorry, I had to pause the recording because the lawnmower got caught on something and made a loud noise. Anyway, it says, now I did not write this text, but I'm going to read it to you. And it says, Raphael rules the element of air. Archangel Raphael represents the element of air in nature. Raphael specializes in helping with healing body, mind, and spirit. Some practical airy, quote unquote, airy ways Raphael can help you include helping you break free from unhealthy burdens that are blocking your progress in life, inspiring you to lift your soul towards God, to discover, or the Most High, or the universe, whichever your higher power is you identify with, to discover how to live in healthier ways, and empowering you to soar towards accomplishing God, the Most High, or the universe, or the divine's purposes for you or the higher powers. Okay, I'm going to also add in here that Archangel Raphael, which is my sister, Kenyatta Numhika, also known as Let's Get Into It, she also assists you with speaking your truth, but she doesn't realize it yet. She doesn't realize that's a part of her mission yet, but I'm telling you it is, because it's air element, and we know that through the tarot, air is about swords in the mind, right? So I'm going to tap in next to me, Archangel Michael. Archangel Michael, I rule fire. Okay, that is why I'm a lot more fiery than she is. And it's also why I have, like, literally, y'all, I have, like, 10 fire placements in my main chart. Like, 10. Dead ass. If you look at a natal chart, like, 10 of them are fire. 10. That doesn't include the houses. I'm talking about my tropical chart or my western chart, okay? It's like 10 fire placements. Now, because I have, like, 6...
I have like five in Scorpio. No, I have six in Scorpio across my tropical and my Vedic. And then I have like four or five in Sag across my tropical and Vedic. So yeah, that's like 10, 9 or 10 fire placements. I'm not even including the north nodes, you know. Well, I have a Gemini north node and a Taurus north node, but yeah, it's like 9 or 10 fire placements. We know that Scorpio was originally ruled, and the foundational ruler of Scorpio is Aries, the god of war, the fiery planet, okay, Mars. And so the secondary ruler that was added later was Pluto, but we know Pluto is what? Hades over the underworld, which is also me. And you know the underworld is what? Fiery. Fiery, bitch. Fiery. So that's really double fire energy. Even though they say Pluto is a cold, icy planet, it's still double fire. All right? So Archangel Michael represents the element of fire in nature. Michael specializes in helping with truth and courage. Some practical, quote-unquote, fiery ways that Michael can help you include awakening you to pursue spiritual truth, urging you to burn away sins in your life, and seeking holiness, or I will say ascension if you don't like the holiness word, that will purify your soul, all right, awakening, kundalini awakening, and sparking your courage to take the risks that God, Most High Universe, higher powers, ancestors want you to take to become a stronger person and help make the world a better place and also get you on your mission. Now, I'm also going to say that Archangel Ariel also helps with courage, and Archangel Ariel is very, very good for divine feminines. And one of my soul sisters is Archangel Ariel. Okay, shout out to her. Next is Archangel Gabriel. And like I told you before, Ariel is Aries, so Ariel and Michael are both fire. All right. But Ariel's not written here. Archangel Gabriel rules water. Archangel Gabriel, as I've said before, was my father in a past life and was Kenyatta's either grandfather or great-grandfather in this life. And he is no longer, he was both of our fathers in a past life. And he's no longer in a human body. He left in the 70s. But he rules water. Archangel Gabriel, he, she rules water, okay? Represents the flowing element of water in nature. Now, I'm going to add here my personal note. If you remember the movie Constantine with Keanu Reeves, Gabriel came down and landed in what? Gabriel landed in a pool of water. Water. Okay. That's when Gabriel was there, and then Lucifer came. So go back and watch that movie if you like, and you'll see Gabriel represented in a masculine archetype but a female body. And as I've said before, angels can take various vessel forms if they choose. All right. Some practical ways. So it says Archangel Gabriel represents the flowing element of water in nature. Gabriel specializes in helping with understanding God's messages. And some practical ways Gabriel can help you include inspiring you to reflect on your thoughts and emotions so that you can learn spiritual lessons from them, teaching you how to be more receptive to God, Most High, higher power, etc., divine messages. And this is both waking or awake messages and messages from the astral realm and dreams. And Gabriel also helps one interpret the meaning of how God, spirit, astral beings, celestial beings, higher powers are communicating with you, ancestors, etc. Then Archangel Uriel rules over earth. Archangel Uriel, as I've said before, is not in a human body either, but Archangel Uriel is also the spirit or angel of prophecy. Archangel Uriel represents the solid element of earth and specializes in helping with knowledge and wisdom. Some practical, quote-unquote, earthy ways that Uriel may help you may include grounding you into the solid reliability of knowledge, learning, and wisdom that comes from God, universe, higher powers, ancestors, etc., rather than one being pulled towards other sources that may be unreliable. And Uriel also helps one to bring stability into situations in their lives so they can prosper as the universe intends or the Most High intends for them to prosper. Now, there are archangels governing the four directions, the four cardinal directions, okay? So it says, God has assigned four of his archangels to be in charge of the four cardinal points on earth. Believers say, directing their energy towards helping human beings balance different parts of their lives harmoniously. These angels are known as the archangels of the four directions, or the four corners, or the four winds. They are Uriel, Archangel Uriel, who rules the north. Archangel Michael, me, I rule the south. Archangel Raphael rules the east, which explains why my sister is from East Cleveland. And Archangel Gabriel rules the west, which explains why our father from a past life is Panamanian. That's a westerly direction, okay? And me, Michael, ruling the south is also correlated to root chakra, because Archangel Michael also rules the root chakra, which also explains why I have six Scorpio placements, because that's all root chakra, okay? Now, four directions. The concept of angels governing Earth's four cardinal points comes from interpretations of various passages in the Bible and the Torah, such as the passage of Zechariah chapter 2 verse 6, the book of Daniel chapter 7 verse 2, and the book of Matthew chapter 24 verse 31, in which God mentions the four winds of heaven. Just as God has created four directions on Earth that you can navigate physically with a compass and move around and travel towards, he has also given his messengers, which are angels, these specific points that help guide you spiritually, okay? Different aspects of life have come to be traditionally associated with the four directions on our planet, north, south, east, and west, and the four different types, and they're associated with the different types of energy that archangels send to humans from heaven to earth through light rays. The four archangels that are traditionally associated with the four directions are also believed to be working with cherubim angels in heaven as security guards around the four metaphysical corners of God's throne. And I've told you all before that the archangels guard the throne of God, okay? Archangels are seraphim, and you have cherubim, you have powers, you have principalities, and you have angel servitors. So there's a big hierarchy in heaven, okay, that the Bible may not get into detail, but if you study, you will find out. Study angelology, you'll find out. Now, a lot of this will come out of Jewish Kabbalah or Jewish mysticism, this more in-depth knowledge of angels, okay? So there is a famous bedtime prayer that is a traditional Jewish prayer called the Kriyat Shema. Okay, and it describes the archangels of the four directions and asks for their blessing of protection and guidance during sleep and dreams. Part of the prayer says, quote, "To my right, Michael, and to my left, Gabriel, in front of me, Uriel, and behind me, Raphael, and over my head, the Shekinah glory, God's presence through his wonderful Holy Spirit, which is Chokmah, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Baruch HaKadesh, or the Imaya Baruch HaKadesh, which is also known as wisdom in the Bible, okay, the Holy Mother, the Holy Spirit. Uriel of the North, Archangel Uriel represents the northern direction and specializes in helping with knowledge and wisdom. Some practical ways Uriel can help one person may include discovering God's wisdom or universal or higher wisdom, developing confidence in themselves, and motivating people to serve others. I rule the South, and I represent helping with truth and courage, as it said before about the element of fire that I rule. Some practical ways Michael helps is including supporting people during a crisis, reassuring people that God or the higher powers of the divine realm and angels and ancestors care for them, and showing a person God's purposes for their lives. All right. From the east, Archangel Raphael represents this direction and specializes in helping with healing the body, mind, and spirit. Same for Archangel Raphael ruling air, okay? Some of the practical ways that Raphael helps is including giving new information and ideas, and as I said before, thoughts that promote better health. Urging you to enjoy time in nature and guiding you to restore broken relationships in your life. And then westerly would be Archangel Gabriel, who represents helping one to understand God's universal messages, higher power messages, downloads. Some practical ways Gabriel can help include giving you a plan for the future, helping you navigate this plan, helping you go along your spiritual path, helping you to stay on your spiritual path, revealing how to solve problems and come up with solutions and ideas. And I would also add in here creative ideas. And also communicating God's wisdom to you through dreams. So this would be Gabriel's assignment and is Gabriel's assignment, okay? Now, I'm going to tap in with the angels on the Kabbalah Tree of Life, okay? The Tree of Life in mystical Judaism is called Kabbalah with a K. K-A-B-B-A-L-A-H, also sometimes spelled Kabbalah with a Q. Q-A-B-A-L-A. And it illustrates how God, the Creator, expresses his great creative energy throughout the universe, through angels, and onto human beings, as above, so below. Okay, I'm adding that here, that's not written. Each of the tree's branches are called Sephirot, which is spelled S-E-P-H-I-R-O-T, and it symbolizes a particular type of creative force that a different archangel oversees. By focusing on the different energies one by one, people can develop a closer spiritual union with God and creator and creatrix, according to what believers or practitioners of Kabbalah say. But there's much more in depth than that. This is just a simplistic and, succinct article on the topic. So the crown in the Tree of Life in Kabbalah is known as Keter or Kether, K-E-T-H-E-R. And this features Archangel Metatron. As the angel of life, Metatron is at the top of the tree, directing God's living energy throughout the universe that God has created. Metatron connects human beings living on earth with the divine energy of God and helps people incorporate that sacred energy into their lives. Metatron also brings spiritual balance to all of the different yet interconnected parts of God's creation and helps people achieve spiritual enlightenment. As I said before, Archangel Metatron is over the crown and over his own cohort or section of universal enlightenment, spiritual secrets, etc. Next, we have Chokmah or wisdom, as I just talked about, which features Archangel Raziel. Some people call him Archangel Raziel. Some people call him Archangel Raziel. Raziel is the specific connotation that many people use or pronunciation, and as the angel of mysteries, Raziel reveals divine mysteries to people that help them become wiser. Raziel is over universal secrets of the universe. By showing people how to incorporate their knowledge into their lives in practical ways through Raziel's guidance, Raziel helps people reach their full potential according to God's good purposes in their lives and for their soul journey. Now, the next one would be understanding, also known as Bina, okay, which is spelled B-I-N-A-H, and it features Archangel Zafkiel. Okay, Zafkiel is spelled T-Z-A-P-H-K-I-E-L. Now, depending on what kind of ancient text or books you look in or languages, you might see a slightly different spelling. But as the angel of compassion and understanding, Zafkiel leads the angels who send the spiritual energy of understanding to people. So Zafkiel helps people learn more about God or the universe and sends them insights about themselves as divine beings or as purposeful beings, and guides them to make decisions in their daily lives that reflect this core spiritual identity. The next one would be Mercy, Chesed, which is spelled C-H-E-S-E-D. This features Archangel Zadkiel, which is spelled Z-A-D-K-I-E-L. As the angel of mercy, Zadkiel and his angels, because he's an archangel, he has angels under him that are assigned to him. He supervises the energy of God's mercy being sent throughout the universe or the multiverse. And this will involve inspiring people to be kind to others, because God is kind to them. It also includes giving people peace when they pray, so they can be confident that God, universe, higher powers, etc., will answer their prayers according to what is best for them. Now, the next one would be Strength, also known as Geburah, G-E-B-U-R-A-H, and this is ruled over by Archangel Chamuel, spelled Chamuel. And this archangel, as the angel of peaceful relationships, Chamuel exercises tough love to strengthen relationships so that people can experience peace even within themselves, with each other, and with God or higher powers, universe, collective, multiverse, etc. Nirvana, if you will, if we're talking about Zen Buddhism. Okay, Chamuel, or Hinduism. Chamuel and the angels he oversees test people's beliefs and motivations. Okay, in the process, this helps to purify them and help people develop stronger relationships with God, higher self, universe, etc. Then the next one would be Tifereth. Tifereth is spelled Tipheret, which is beauty. This features both Archangels Michael and Raphael working together. Okay, me and my sister working together. This angelic team joins extremely powerful forces. Michael is God's top angel. I am God's top angel. And Raphael is the leading angel in charge of healing. Okay, as they express the divine energy of beauty collectively, as a unit, okay, cooperatively, they help people tap into higher levels of consciousness. This is the ministry that we have together for the world, okay, in the collective. The next part of the tree of Kabbalah, the Kabbalah tree of life, is eternity, known as Netzach, Netzach. This features Archangel Haniel. Haniel is spelled Haniel. She is the angel of joy and expresses God's eternal energy by helping people rely on God, higher power, source, creator, universe, etc. That which is eternally reliable, Haniel reinforces that people should rely on that which is eternally reliable and solid, rather than on their changing and fluctuating emotions. And Haniel helps by enlightening people with insights that can bring them joy and happiness in any circumstance. So Haniel is the type of archangel that will help you see the glass half full, no matter what's going on. Will help you see the light at the end of the tunnel, okay? So, the next part of the tree of life is glory, known as Hod, H-O-D. And this features Archangels Michael and Raphael again. So, Michael and Raphael rule beauty, which is known as Tifereth. And they rule glory, which is Hod, okay? So, just as they partnered to express the divine energy of beauty, Michael and Raphael also joined forces to express God's glory, because that glory is beautiful. Together, these great archangels fight sin to make sure that the splendor of God's perfect design for creation wins out over sin that tries to corrupt that very glorious design. Michael and Raphael also help people discover and fulfill God's glorious will for their lives. So the foundation of the Tree of Life is Yesod. This features Archangel Gabriel, who, as I said before, rules Earth. So Earth is solid. That is foundational, okay? As the Angel of Revelation, Gabriel is a master communicator. No, I think it's Uriel that rules Earth, but either way, Gabriel is a master communicator. Gabriel's over water. Pardon me, I said Earth, but Uriel is over Earth. Gabriel's over water. So as the foundation, Gabriel is over revelations, is a master communicator, and so God has assigned Gabriel to be in charge of the tree's foundation for this reason. In this role, Gabriel connects people to God through messages of faith and helps people rely on their faith in God so that they can make smoother transitions throughout their lives. Now, the whole kingdom is known as Malkuth, M-A-L-K-U-T-H. This features Archangel Sandalphon. As the angel of music and prayer, Archangel Sandalphon sends messages back and forth between God and human beings within God's kingdom. Sandalphon's efforts are designed to keep the divine energy flowing freely without stagnancy. That way it nurtures all parts of God's kingdom. Okay? Now, I'm going to talk a bit about angel types so that we can tap in with this, because you don't hear very many people explain this. Okay. these would be, and I just said that you would have to read Jewish mysticism, Jewish lore, and tap in there to find out more about the other types of angels. So we're going to talk about that just a moment. Some of these you may have never heard of, which is good. Angel types in Judaism. Judaism reveres the spiritual beings known as angels who worship God and act as his messengers towards or intermediaries toward people or between God and people. God has created a tremendous amount of angels, more than people can even count. The Torah uses the figure of speech thousands, meaning a huge number, to describe the innumerable amount of angels that the prophet Daniel sees in his vision of God in heaven, which was, quote, thousands upon thousands attended him, meaning attended God, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, end quote. And this is found in the Bible, in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 10. How do you begin to comprehend the vast amount of angels who exist? It helps to start by understanding how God has even organized them. Three major world religions, which are Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, have set up hierarchies of angels. Here's a look at who's who amongst the Jewish angels. Rabbi, Torah scholar, and Jewish philosopher Moshe ben Maimon, also known as Maimonides, described 10 different levels of angels in a hierarchy that he detailed in his book Mishnah Torah, which was put out around 1180. Maimonides ranked the angels from highest to lowest. Okay, first it starts with the Shayot HaKodesh. Shayot HaKodesh is spelled Shayot, first word C-H-A-Y-O-T, second word Ha, H-A, third word Kodesh, K-O-D-E-S-H. The first and highest type of angels is called Shayot HaKodesh. They are known for their enlightenment, and they are responsible for holding up God's throne, and also for holding earth in its proper position in space. The Shayot HaKodesh emanate such a powerful light that they often appear fiery. These are your seraphim, your seraphs, including me and my sister and others. The famous archangel Metatron leads the Shayot HaKodesh, as Metatron is the captain of the archangels, according to mystical branch of Judaism known as Kabbalah. The next section is known as the Ophanim. Ophanim, O-P-H-A-N-I-M. Members of the Ophanim rank of angels never sleep because they're constantly busy guarding God's throne in heaven. They are known for their wisdom. Their name comes from the Hebrew word Ophan, O-P-H-A-N, which means wheel, due to the Torah's description of them in Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel in the Bible, Ezekiel's wheel within a wheel, and this was in chapter 1, as having their spirits encased inside wheels that moved along with them wherever they went. In Kabbalah, the famous archangel Raziel leads the Ophanim. So this is your whirling wheel of light, your Merkaba, your Merkaba, your spaceship, baby, which is your body, flying through the realms, through the multiverses and the dimensions at the speed of light, because you are light if you are on the right frequency. The next order of angels is Erelim. Erelim is spelled E-R-E-L-I-M, and these angels are known for their courage and understanding. The famous archangel Zafkiel leads the Erelim in Kabbalah. Zafkiel is spelled T-Z-A-P-H-K-I-E-L. The next order is known as Hashmalim. Hashmalim, H-A-S-M-A-L-L-I-M. And the Hashmalim are known for their love, kindness, and grace. The famous archangel Zadkiel, Z-A-D-K-I-E-L, leads this angelic rank, according to Kabbalah. And Zadkiel is thought to be, quote-unquote, angel of the Lord, who shows merciful kindness in Genesis chapter 22 of the Torah, when the prophet Abraham is preparing to sacrifice his son Isaac, and found, later, a ram in the bush. The next order is Seraphim. Seraphim angels are known for their work for justice. Kabbalah says that the famous Archangel Chamuel leads the Seraphim. The Torah records a vision that the prophet Isaiah had of Seraphim angels near God in heaven. Quote, above him were Seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two wings they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory, end quote. That is from the book of Isaiah chapter 6, verses 2 through 3. The next order or rank is known as the Malakim. Okay, M-A-L-A-K-H-I-M. And they are a rank known for their beauty and mercy as well. And in Kabbalah, the famous archangel, my sister, Archangel Raphael, leads the Malakim. This class of angels is led by Archangel Raphael, Kenyatta. The Elohim are angels within, known for their commitment to the victory of good over evil. Okay. The Elohim is spelled E-L-O-H-I-M. Okay. The famous Archangel Haniel leads the Elohim according to Kabbalah. The B'nai Elohim. B'nai Elohim, B-E-N-E Elohim, focus their work on giving glory to God. Kabbalah says that the famous Archangel Michael, me, leads this angelic rank. Michael is mentioned in major religious texts more than any other named angel. And he, she, is often shown as a warrior who fights for what is right to bring glory to God. Daniel chapter 12 verse 21 of the Torah describes Michael as the great prince who will protect God's people even during the struggle between good and evil at the end of the world. I told you I'd be there, baby. When some souls are destroyed, I told you I would be there. Some of them ain't gonna wait till the end of the world for their number to come up. I told you I'd be there. Cherubim. The Cherubim angels are known for their work helping people deal with sin that separates them from God so they can draw closer to God or the Most High or Source. The famous Archangel Gabriel leads the Cherubim according to Kabbalah. Now our children, me and Kenyatta's children are Cherubim, okay? They say angels don't have children, but that's not true. Cherubim angels appear in the Torah's account of what happened after humans brought sin into the world while in the Garden of Eden. Quote, after he, God, drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life, end quote. And that is found in the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse 24. And the last ranking is the Ishim, which is spelled I-S-H-I-M, and this is a rank of angels closest to human beings. Members of the Ishim focus on building God's kingdom on earth, and in Kabbalah, their leader is the famous Archangel Sandalphon. All right. Now, I'm briefly going to go over the angel types in Christianity, the Dionysius angelic hierarchy. And so I'll go ahead into that because it talks about choirs of angels in Christianity. Christianity values the powerful spiritual beings called angels who love God and serve people on divine assignments. Here's a look at the Christian angel choirs on the Pseudo-Dionysius angelic hierarchy, which is the world's most commonly used or known system of organizing the angels. So, developing a hierarchy, one may ask, how many are there? The Bible says that a tremendous amount of angels exist, more than people can even count. So they're not able to be numbered. As I said before, they're innumerable. In Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 22, the Bible describes, quote, an innumerable company of angels, end quote, in heaven. It can be overwhelming to think about so many angels unless you think in terms of how God or the Most High has organized them. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam have all developed various hierarchies of angels. In Christianity, theologian Pseudo-Dionysius the Areopagite studied what the Bible says about angels and then published an angelic hierarchy in his book called the celestial hierarchy, which came out around 500 AD. And then theologian Thomas Aquinas gave additional details in his book called the Summa Theologica, which came out around 1274. They describe three spheres of angels consisting of nine different choirs, with those closest to God in the inner sphere moving outward towards those angels who are closest to human beings. So the first sphere that they described is known as the first choir, which is known as the seraphim. The seraphim angels are in charge of guarding God's throne in heaven, and they surround it there, constantly praising God. In the Bible, the prophet Isaiah describes a vision he had of seraphim angels in heaven calling out, quote, "Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory," end quote, according to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. The seraphim, which means burning ones, are lit from within with a brilliant light that manifests their passionate love for God. One of their most famous members, Lucifer, whose name means light bearer, was closest to God and known for his bright light, but fell from heaven and became a demon, then became Satan as his alter ego. I'm going to add in alter ego here, that's not written, when he decided to try to wrest God or wrestle God's power for himself, and he decided to rebel. In the book of Luke chapter 10 verse 18 of the Bible, Jesus Christ described Lucifer's fall from heaven as looking quote unquote like lightning. Since Lucifer's fall, Christians consider the angel Michael to be the most powerful angel. So Lucifer's my older brother. I've told y'all that before. So I took his place. I know that sounds shocking. It's 11:04 a.m., which is 44. I took his place. He's my old, he's not my older brother. I'm his older brother, but he fell. So it's like somebody's got it. It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. That's why some people, you know, thought that I was calling them Lucifer. No, I'm very well aware of the actual Lucifer. I don't need to call any human beings Lucifer. I'm very well aware of my little brother. And I don't mean little as in insignificant. I mean my younger brother. I'm very well aware of him being real. Then real. He, before I knew who I was some years ago, hit me with some serious motherfucking pain because he made me transmit a message that I wasn't trying to transmit. And I didn't know who I was back then as far as Archangel Michael, Hades, Venus, etc. With the Pendragon reincarnated, I just knew that I was very spiritually gifted and a divine feminine. But back then, a couple of years ago, he hit me with some pain and said, "No, you're going to say what I told you to say. You're going to say what I told you to say, because if you don't, it's going to be a battle of the wills, and I'm going to sit here and I'm going to turn the heat up on you. I'm going to dig in your chest. I'm going to crush your chest until you finally say what I told you to say, Michael." But I didn't know I was Michael back then. He didn't call me Michael. He just said, "Until you say what I want you to say, I'm going to hit your chest with pain." And that chest pain struck my sternum, my breastbone. Baby, I could hear him speaking like I was in the kitchen preparing something to eat. And all of a sudden I felt the presence of Lucifer. My soul and my spirit knew it was Lucifer. And no, he didn't actually walk into my house, and it wasn't in astral form, but it was just like, I just felt the presence, and I knew when I heard the voice speaking telepathically that it was him. I instantly knew it was him. And it wasn't because I had any, you know, lengthy or frequent conversations with him before. I just instantly, my spirit knew this is Lucifer. And it was. And as soon as I finally said, "Okay, fine, whatever, fine, get off me, I'll say what you want me to say." As soon as I said, "Okay, I yield, sire, I yield, I will say what you want me to say," then the pain instantly disappeared. And I said what he wanted me to say, and he kind of, you know, I got this vision in my mind's eye of him smirking like, you thought you was going to outdo me, you know, I'm old, you know. You're in a human body, remember? you can't outdo me. You the one that got to suffer with physical pain. I don't. See. So, that was a quite an experience there, but I did record it. So that was one of the things that was on my old podcast. I think I re-uploaded it to the Metaphysical Life Mastery podcast. But yeah, I think it's called Lucifer Has Something to Say About What They Do to People in Atlanta. And it was tied to a reading that I had done. So yeah. But yeah, since Lucifer's fall, Christians consider me to be Angel Michael, Archangel Michael, to be the most powerful. And I am, but I give Metatron his due. Metatron's over me. Metatron's head nigga in charge. No disrespect to Metatron, but Metatron's head nigga in charge, and I'm underneath Metatron. Because Metatron is at the top. He's at the top of the tree of life. And that's my commander. You know, commander in chief is the most high God and the most high, etc. But as far as angels, Metatron is over me. So even I have a boss, you know, but either way, like I said, I don't have no reason to call no human being Lucifer. Lucifer is a real deity, okay? Anyway, going along to the first sphere, circle, and the second choir, which is known as the cherubim. The cherubim angels protect God's glory. They also keep records of what happens in the universe. They are known for their wisdom. Although cherubs are often portrayed in modern art as cute little babies with wings and big smiles and rosy cheeks, art from earlier eras actually depicts the cherubs as imposing creatures with four different faces and four wings that are completely covered with eyes. And I have seen these depictions where they have four faces and they have wings covered with eyes. The Bible describes the cherubim on a divine mission to guard the tree of life in the Garden of Eden from humans who had fallen into sin. Quote, after he, meaning God, drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden a cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life, according to Genesis chapter 3:24 that I just read. Then we have the first sphere, third choir, which is the thrones. Throne angels are known for their concern for God's justice. They often work to right wrongs in our fallen world. The Bible mentions the throne's angelic rank as well as the principalities and the dominions. I did forget the dominions when I said powers and principalities earlier. I did forget to tell you all about dominions. The Bible mentions them in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Quote, for by him, meaning Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus Christ is not the same as Yeshua HaMashiach, but I'm just going to read what it says here. It says, for by him, Jesus Christ, were all things. Sorry about that. DoorDash. Anyway, members says, for by him, Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, end quote. So then we have the second sphere, fourth choir, which is dominions. Members of the dominion angelic choir regulate the other angels and supervise how they perform their God-given duties. Dominions also often act as channels of mercy for God's love to flow from him to others in the universe. Then we have the second sphere, the fifth choir, which are known as virtues. Virtues work to encourage human beings to strengthen their faith in God, such as by inspiring people and helping them grow in holiness, or I'm going to say helping them ascend. They often visit earth to perform miracles that God has empowered them to perform in response to people's prayers. Virtues also watch over the natural world God has created on earth. So then we have the second sphere, the sixth choir, which is known as powers. Members of the powers choir of angels engage in spiritual warfare against demons. They also help human beings overcome the temptation to sin or lower self behaviors, and they also assist in giving them the courage they need to choose higher minded things over lower minded or good over evil. Next, we have the third sphere, the seventh choir, which are principalities. The principality angels encourage people to pray and practice spiritual disciplines that will help them grow closer to God or help them ascend. They work to educate people in the arts and sciences, communicating inspiring ideas in response to people's prayers. Principalities also oversee the various nations on earth and help deliver wisdom from national leaders as they face decisions about how best to govern people. We have then the third sphere, the eighth choir, which are archangels. The meaning of this choir's name is distinct from the other use of the word archangels. While many people think of archangels as the highest ranking angels in heaven, and Christians recognize some famous ones like Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, this angelic choir is made up of angels who mainly focus on the task of delivering God's messages to humans. The name archangel is from the Greek words arche or arche, which means ruler, and angelos, which means messenger. Hence the name of this choir. So ruler, messenger, okay, is what archangel means. Some of the other higher ranked angels do participate in delivering divine messages to people, however, all right? So there are angels over the archangels. So, third sphere, ninth choir, angels. All right, just angels. It says guardian angels are in the third sphere, the ninth choir, and this is those that are closest to humans. They protect, guide, and pray for people in all aspects of human life. Now, this is one hierarchy according to Christianity. In another hierarchy, they may put the archangels at the top, okay? I don't consciously know exactly how everything's ranked because I don't know. I don't remember. But in different cultures and religions, you will see them ranked differently. Some will put Michael at the top. Some will put Metatron at the top. It just depends, okay? It just depends. Now, when we talk about angels, again, they are intermediaries and messengers, and they have different tasks, and some of the tasks that they are assigned with do intersect. So you can have multiple angels that can help with, for example, healing. You have multiple angels that will fight battles. You have multiple angels that will, you know, communicate mystical or scientific ideals or help people understand these things. So that is the interesting thing about angelology and the study of these very, very powerful beings, okay? Now, thank you for listening, and I will talk with you soon.